perfect if everybody takes their seat. Do you have any apologies? Okay, folks, do we want to make this? Any other apologies? Yeah. No longer a counselor, so we can't accept that apology. Anyone else? Okay. I just want to make chairman's remarks on the sad passing of our past Newry Moreland Down councillor and previous chair of Newry Moreland Councillor, PJ Bradley will be sending a letter of condolences on behalf of the council to his family, the onset and his family. Declarations of interest. Okay. Next up, we have the environmental youth speakers. The other day, we had the environmental youth speaking competition. It was held in the Downpatrick Centre, and there was two winners: Matthew McGee from St Malachy's Grammar School in Camlagh, and Maya Comer from the Second Heart Grammar School in Newry. And I invited them to come down here because I feel their input on that day. I actually hadn't heard Matthew's, but I'd heard some of the other ones. It was very good, and I think it's important. I think we had the winners of it last year here, so we'll just have them. Just to tell you, Matthew McGee's grandfather was a past chair of this council. Is the grandson of Jim McGee, so it's quite appropriate that. It's quite nice that he's here tonight, and they brought down the down chain for him to try on. So we had some photographs taken earlier of that, and then we'll have Maya after that. So Matthew, if you want to come up to the front, and we'll get you to take your stance in the middle of the floor. Yep. And if Daddy Fergal needs to come up, do you need to come up? You all right? Okay. If you want to come on in here for Matthew, you take the floor. Do you want to turn around just to them? Yeah, they need it more.
Hello, I'm the chairperson, and ladies and gentlemen, my name is Malcolm McGee, and I'm here this evening to talk to you about food, glorious food, don't worry. Before I begin, I'm going to ask each and every one of you sitting with you today, stop, think for a moment, how many times have you experienced the event? For example, leftover dinners, a half-eaten sandwich, or a fruit and banana. Well, I would just say that yes, we are all guilty of this problem. It's a global problem, a national problem, a local problem, and it's your problem. We can all take a few small steps to make a big difference in our environment if we adopt the attitude, think before you then. You're free to stop it when it's on a date ready to be enjoyed. Eating food saves money and helps to slow down global warming and deforestation. Throwing good food away costs the average person £200 a year and a family £700. Let's see what we can do about it. Step 1. Become more friendly with the fresh food. Understand the different risks to be by and best avoided. Use more recently birthed dietins in the free. You don't think you're able to eat or such as this. Step 2. Keep a well stocked dog. Keep a range of canned and dried goods. Use rice, pasta, and sauces to use to make the dishes with your leftovers. Step 3. Correct portion sizes. Get your portion sizes right. Follow all of your tips to some. Ask for more if you want more. Being great is blessing. Find your refuge in the internet and Step 5. Plan your mood. Think carefully about what you need before going shopping. Plan ahead and write a list of things you need to wish ahead. No one here today, too old or too young, creating your habits will come up with new ideas. For more information, visit www.wrsanis.org. www.filmfairfield.ca or www.filmfairfield.com. However, some fair bits is natural, such as angels, synopsis, and demons, which will never be on the menu anytime soon.
Hold on, okay.
Also, the cycle 38 can be turned into energy. For example, this DC light comes to achieve enough energy to make another cup of tea. 35 green lights can power one DA for 1 hour. That's right, 27 demons are in your box. It's time to unite in the 38 spot. From here for 27 things, no 38 will be able to go on a black bench. That means we have to reduce too much 38 energy. And when this is not possible, we should cycle all the green 38 into our brown bin. And finish off now with the song, Help Us Break In 38. I got that feeling, it's down our bones. 38 is a big problem in our world. All from the city, all from our home. Let's just stick on the good things before we bin. Well done, Matthew. Now we'll have Maya. You can leave that here, John. Do you need to leave that cheese somewhere? Okay.
Following a week of research, interviewing, eco-warrioring, and harassing Mr. Liam Hanover of Nearing Modern Farm
District. I forgot to tell you that bit.
And I can see it with great certainty that Kermit the Frog was very right when he said, hey, it's easy being green. I come from an eco school and we warriors are tough. I want to do my bit to help save the planet by saying no to food waste. My family says no to food waste every day quite easily because we have a Tom. Tom is my big brother, all 6'1" of him. Even though he's only 14, he eats the equivalent of a small village every day. We don't have a chance to waste any food because Tom cruises about after every meal. This means we have a tiny carbon footprint, even though we have sized 13 feet. This is a dude. Tom really believes and puts into practice the saying, we are not woke enough. Such a pity the rest of the world doesn't have a home. It is hard to believe that almost one third of food produced globally is wasted. A whopping 12.5 billion pounds is wasted every year. The big question has to be, why? From my recent research, it seems that the main reason is people think because food is out of date, it is inedible and they throw it up. But take note, best before date really mean what they said. Best before, it's not terrible and obviously poisonous after date. In our house, Tom doesn't care. If he's hungry, he'll eat it anyway. But remember, if it's not being used by this, it may not be safe. So then, and only then, do not eat it and put it in the brown bin. We each have the responsibility to think about the impact of wasting food. teacher, he changed them to the cup, used them for a meal the next day, or put them in the dry dish. The very efficient theory more going to applies, so we collect the dry bit every 2 weeks. So there is no time to sell it off. From April 2017, every home in our country will already have a dry bit, which is professionally compost by natural word So we have no excuse for now, and I quote from Mr. Hanowitz, embracing this positive step towards a better environment. I ask myself another question. What does our minister for the environment propose? So, I contacted Minister McElvee regarding food waste practices of the big house in the hill. After numerous emails and attempts for information, the response is still pending. We must have been on the campaign trail. After getting no guidance from the top, I have another idea. Interview those close to home, my classmates and those in charge of Sacred Heart School campaign, and learn about their practices. I came up with my very recyclable acronym, SCRAP. Share, cook, recycle, reuse, ask, and plan. My English teacher would be very proud of my clever language and reading words too. S is for sure. Finish your voting list on the 5th. Share it on. To friends, to family, to the birds, to the dogs, or even the environment. Fun fact, 18% of my class feeds traps to birds, 51% feeds dogs, and 6% use compost feed to make sure it's plant plastic. C is for cook. Cook more home-cooked meals rather than buying food that's not needed. Make sure you use up all the food you have and only then buy more. Or for recycle and reuse. Recycle your food by composting it, putting it in the brown bin, or feeding it to your dog. And you can reuse your food in different and creative ways too. My favorite is a potato skin crisp. A is for ask. Ask the important questions and to recycle these each time you buy something. Will I use it? Do I need it? And will I waste it? And finally, pain is for plan. Perfect planning prevents poor performance. This is a mantra my teachers have recycled quite a bit to me. It is important to plan enough food for the week, but no more than that. Sacred Heart School's campaign manager told me that each guest he calculated those ills, those absence, and those objects, and only then she would earn enough food for them. I wonder where the leftovers from this delicious spread are going today. I wonder if the poem is here. In conclusion, I really hope my ideas will be of use to you. I was going to print them out, but instead decided to upload them onto the Wayfarer NI website in order to save paper. Now, I understand that this may not be a Grammy Award winning performance, but anyway, here goes. Food, glorious food, we are anxious to try it, much more than we need, stop thinking about it, try me a scrap secret room, there the weather go, oh food.
I think everyone, Woody's not agree it was the right choice to bring these children in here. P7 and first year. Wow. Now, Tom's younger brother's here, so I sent him out to get some buns. But Tom's daddy's here too, and he's a sweet too. Thank you so much, Maya and Matthew. Really appreciate you coming down. Really, really brilliant. And I'm sure we all took something out of that as well. So. And Maya, you get more out of Liam Hanaway than I do sometimes. Cows, I hope you're listening there. And could any Toms here please identify themselves later? Okay. Item 4. Minutes of the council meeting held on the 6th of February. So for clarification, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and then we'll just do the action sheet, 12, 13, 14, yeah. Proposed and seconded? Robert and Dermot. Any matters arising? Nope.
Chairman, I don't think there's anything on the action sheet that isn't on the government. Letters have been sent, and all the points have been actioned, are in the process of being actioned.
Okay. Everyone happy enough? Okay. Item 6, the minutes of special council meeting on the 30th of January. Class here, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Proposed.
Just a correction on the minutes before we propose them.
Made a proposal and seconded the member of clarification. Oh, for accuracy, sorry.
Yeah, for accuracy, yeah. Just 1 second until I get to page. Page 3, the point that I raised on the... Where are we? Yeah, the annual statement. I wasn't talking about civil partnerships, I was talking about civil marriage, and it needs to be changed on it, because it, on page 3 and on page 4, it'll be a completely different topic. I brought up why civil equal marriage was amber and not red, not civil partnerships.
Okay. Thank you. Can I
adjust
that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Proposed? Seconded? Terry and Declan? Any matters arising? Okay. Item 7, the minutes of the ERT committee. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Proposed? Robert? Seconded?
Harry?
Any matters arising? Gosh. Oh, yeah. Laura?
Yeah. It's in terms of the ERT on page 4 regarding the horse riding track on Forest Park. Is there an actual map of the trails that have been...
Sure, there is a map, and we can provide that to members for information.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Item 8 then. The minutes of the FPNR committee held on the 15th of February. So, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Chairman, on relation to item on the last page, which is SPR 52/2017, can I ask that we take the agreement of that there in committee? We want to propose an amendment to the recommendation, which we can deal with the committee at the end of the meeting, Chairman.
Okay. Everyone in agreement? Okay. So we're going to propose and second this for the minutes. Barr and Declan, any matters arising?
Yes, Chair. Can I just ask one there on page 2 about the Chairman's remarks there? There was a 10-point plan produced to us, and I was just wondering where that 10-point plan actually come from. For we had got an email sent to us before the meeting stating that three other gentlemen in Sainsbury actually come up with the idea of it. I checked with those three gentlemen and said they never heard tell of it, and they weren't even happy with it. So maybe the chairperson of the committee could actually tell us where that 10-point plan came from and who actually produced it, for I was led to believe that there was only two items on it that they would be ever in agreement with.
Councillor Walker?
Sure. On the same thing, and it's just a question to the Chief Executive in relation to the Saintfield facility. Could the Chief Executive tell me, has he received a letter from the Saintfield Development Association seeking an urgent meeting? And if he has, when would that meeting take place? Because I think it should maybe take place sooner rather than later.
Chairman, the position is, I've written back to acknowledge the receipt of the letter. It states that the council will be considering a recommendation coming forward from the SPNR tonight.
And once that's been done and out of the call-in period, then, you know, we will arrange a meeting on that, because until that there, I am not in a position, because this recommendation changes the direction of travel that we were in regards to anything. So I need clarification agreement on this here before I can hold that meeting, Chairman.
Okay, Councillor Walker.
Just to clarify, as chair of that committee, Robert, I'm not sure who exactly you're talking about, but if they're the people that I mentioned at the, that's just on my end, is everyone hearing that?
Yes.
Strange. Yes, those three people that I think I know who you're talking about were all phoned the day that 10 points were released to the chief executive prior to that committee, or sorry, I think they went straight to Eddie, actually. I'll be happy to show you the email we sent so you can see who those names are, just to make sure they match up with the three that you're talking about. But it was the Sandfield Development Association that spoke to all of those people, if they are the same people. Also, we were never under the impression that they wanted to support all 10 options. It was simply an options paper with the maximum amount of feasible possibilities that could be imagined to do with that project. They weren't supporting all 10 of them, and that was never the impression. So sorry if you somehow got that idea, Robert.
Chair, if it was possible, I would like to see that email, because these three gentlemen are getting very angry at being accused of this, and maybe that would put them to bed.
Okay,
I live in Sandfield and I get it every morning.
Councillor Brown has said that he would show you that email.
Maybe you send me a copy of them emails, I'd appreciate that.
He said he would. Yeah. And can we actually have a seconder of the committee who's there? We're on the committee. Thank you.
Chairperson, I have a question just regarding Uri Leisure Centre and regarding additional costs, Emily. But since that item was dealt with in committee at the SPNR meeting, it might be appropriate, Chair, to keep it to the end, if that's in order.
Yes. Chairman, we can deal with that there when we go into committee to consider the item I referred to in the minutes. And I see Ms. Carvel's report coming up later on to me.
Okay, well, so we'll just take you back in then at that point.
Okay.
Okay. Item 9, minutes of the AHC. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Proposed.
Chairperson. Page 8.
Matter of accuracy.
I wasn't aware that the notice of motion was referred to this particular committee on this particular date. So it was originally opposed.
Is your iPad not?
Pardon?
Was your iPad not working? Because that's what we said we were going to send it to.
Well, I was not notified of this item coming up at this particular agenda.
And we did say.
I would have attended had I known.
Yeah, we did say it would have been referred to the next AHC meeting. So.
I'll just have to bring it forward again if there is no action taken by council management on it.
Okay, well, we'll have a proposal and seconder of the minutes, please. Seconded. And Steve Burns, okay. Any matters arising?
Yes, Chair. Just want to check on the license agreement with the Danrice Hall, that the user groups are going to be consulted on that prior to any agreement being made.
Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. All the groups will be consulted as a matter of course. In fact, the group putting forward the proposal is coming along through the next secret DEA forum meeting to discuss their proposals in detail. So the group of councillors are all groups will be consulted as part of that.
Right, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And are the members happy enough for that notice motion to go back into the AHC committee? Yes?
I think, Chairman, that Michael has agreed to bring forward a paper which will be discussed in further a future
meeting.
So maybe that would suffice. We advise Cadogan when that paper is presented and he can come along and attend that meeting. We'll notify him, Michael will notify him when that's been done, so they'll get an opportunity to contribute to the discussion on the paper. Councillor Henry is happy enough with that.
And I'm sure the chair of that committee would be happy enough to lend, but that's up to him. Item 11 is also... Billy.
Chair, just on the financial assistance call, I think we should be commending our officers of the council who set up them workshops. I know the one in Ballinlahinch was very, very well attended. It was about maybe 130 people at it. And you know, we should be given credit where credit's due. The staff of this council went the extra mile to get the community groups to turn out at them there, you know, to help them in that. And, you know, they have to be commended. So they do.
Sure do, Billy. Yep. And therefore, the groups to attend. That's great. Item 11 is also in committee, so rather than asking the press to leave and then come back in, we'll just take item 11 at the end as well. So move on to item 12, the correspondence received from Derry City and Strabane District Council.
We haven't dealt with the RTS Minister.
Sorry, folks, I'm just a wee bit ahead of myself there. The RTS. Sorry. Skip them here. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10. Proposed? Nobody? Oh. Jill and Terry seconded. Any matters arising? Yes. Pete?
Yeah, we're on RTS now, aren't we? Yeah.
Yes, sorry, yeah.
It's just, I think it's on page 3. Yeah, the list of bus stops, it was an issue that came up on the campaign trail, and I'm sure a few other councillors got it as well. It's in particular the bus stop in Dorsey, Roxburgh Road, and it's one of the new structures with the perspective back in it. And a few of the parents had made it known to me that it doesn't provide adequate shelter for the kids. In fact, they're still using the front doors of the church in the morning. Is that structure finished, or is there any way that sides can be put onto it? Because I know on similar structures that have sides in it. If Kenneth could elaborate on that.
Mr. Chair.
Okay,
yeah, Kenneth. Sorry, I didn't actually hear which one you referred to.
Dorsey.
Yeah, I can't give you an answer right now. I will check it out. But on a number of occasions, what Transport NI insist is there aren't any sides, because to have to go out around the sides would put pedestrians too close to the edge of the pavement. So usually when there's no sides, it's because Transport NI wouldn't allow us to have sides, but I can check it out. Okay, I'll check it out, Chair.
Okay.
Declan? Yeah, mine's on really the same issue again for the design one, and I think they're maybe all the same, I don't know, on Ballyhole as well, open sides, but it's not preventing these for kids to stand and wait for the bus or going to school generally. And if the sides are exposed, then it ought to reduce the effectiveness of them. But maybe some consideration, we having a look at that again. And maybe, as Peter was saying, maybe if there is an issue regarding a footpath or whatever for access, and where to keep that access available open, maybe they just need to be longer. If the wind and rain does blow in, it'll only be the first few feet. You know, if that is the case. The principle has been decided at the end of the day, there's a need for a bus shelter. All we need now is one that actually works properly. Okay, can you check that on the board as well? Thank you.
Okay. Any other item? No. Okay. Item 11, as I said, we're going to move it to the end so that we don't have to ask the press to leave. Come in and out. Item 12, correspondence from Derry City and Strabane District Council. Okay. And it's the letter with regard to cystic fibrosis, life-changing drugs. And they want us to obviously agree with it, so to write to the Minister of Health and the Minister of Finance. Anyone want to comment?
Yeah, Chair, I think it's. I think we should write to the ministers and follow the lead of Derry Strabane. Like, you know, it's important that people that are ill get the right treatment, regardless of cost.
You proposing it?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Someone second it?
I do welcome. I think we should support the call for life-changing drugs as another field of medicine. There have been pioneering drugs, and excuses have been made in relation to costs, etc. But I personally agree with my colleague, Councillor Martin, that every opportunity should be made available to those patients who require such medication. So I'm only too happy to support Mark's call and the support of the centre. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Item 13, correspondence received from Northern Ireland Office regarding the incarceration of Tony Taylor. Some information?
David.
Okay.
David. Hi, Chair. Thank you. Chair, again, well, not surprised, but the letter is a typical one from displaying the mindset and the derogatory way that British ministers treat the ordinary people in this country. I mean, he says in the middle of the letter, Mr. Taylor is aware of the reasons for the revocation of his licence. Immediately he was returned to custody, he was provided with a copy of the independent parole commissioner's recommendation and the open reasons why his licence was revoked. Could I just ask Mr. Hoffman, or maybe could we correspond with him? And this says, a simple question is, what are the open reasons behind the revoking of his licence? Because they're not provided here. And I think that we as councillors and as citizens of this country have a right to know what these reasons are. He says they're open reasons, but again, there's no clue as to what they are and what they pretend to be. So I just ask our council to put that question back to Mr. Hopkins MP, and maybe he will provide us with a suitable answer. Thank you, Chair.
Lynn?
Chair, I think this is a total waste of time. To be quite honest, we can have no influence on it whatsoever, so we can't allow the council. Highlander is only wasting the time of this council.
Is everyone in agreement? You put it to a vote. All in favour of setting another letter? Davy? Against?
Abstentions?
Okay. The notice of motion received from Councillor O'Reilly. Councillor O'Reilly's on holiday.
Councillor O'Reilly's on holidays. Unless somebody wishes, party standing orders, wants to move the motion, then it can be postponed to the following meeting with the agreement of council.
Sure. I propose to move it and refer it to the relevant committee.
It's a notice of motion, Chairman. Any councillor can put forward a notice of motion, and we will then refer it on committee as we do. Is everyone in agreement? Okay. Referring that to FPNR because it's about the licence and funding of it, so it'll be dealt with at FPNR.
Possibly because Henry's in no committees is why he's submitted that. So, item 15, the notice of motion received from Councillor Burns. So, Councillor Burns, would you like to read out your notice of motion and then take it from there? And would somebody turn off their lights? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I don't intend to speak too long on this. The motion, I think, is fairly straightforward. I understand that there is limited scope of what we can do as a council, but I think asking for a meeting with First Trust Bank is very appropriate just to highlight our concerns. We've all heard the news that First Trust Bank has decided to axe services at its Downpatrick branch and at its Warren Point branch. It's part of a big restructuring of the frontline service. They've listed a range of reasons. Football has reduced through the doors and the up-and-coming internet banking sensation. They think that they have a ample enough service at this moment in time without having that front line. What it means is, at this minute in time, there is no mandatory redundancy. They've gone out to, first of all, for voluntary redundancy, which is 130 jobs. The issue being is that you have no... these 130 jobs will go, and we've no idea where they'll go, whether how many of them will be out of this district, if any, or how many will be in other districts. There's a very short time scale before the two branches in question have been asked to close. The both branches will be closed by the end of the summer. And I think as a council, we should commend the staff. If anybody's been in and out of the branches since this news, they've remained very professional and very positive, and continue to deal with us, members of the public, in a good way. But for ourselves, it's this negative impact on our rural community. We're well used to job losses, but as putting the job losses to the side, it's the general face-to-face services that have been taken out of our rural towns and villages. In fact, if you take the example of disabled and elderly people who rely on that face-to-face encounter when they go to their bank, that can't be replaced. They've suggested that one of the reasons for this is online banking, but we know too well that poor broadband infrastructure in our areas mean that online banking is certainly a reality for some, but not for all. So that if there's not easily available broadband, how are we supposed to get on? I mean, are we expecting people to come in to centres of population just to use the internet, to use the bank? So I don't think for us that's really an alternative. Some of the services can be relocated to the post office, but again, that has its own problems as well. A lot of our post offices have been moved from single buildings and been incorporated into other. So in one point, I believe the post office is in a supermarket. So I mean, that doesn't give you that private, intimate sort of dealing that you would do in a financial way you're used to in a bank. It has its own challenges, shall we say. And also, a post office just simply cannot provide all the facilities that are given to a bank. So, for instance, the financial products wouldn't be available, and the financial advice is not available at the post office. So it's not a like-for-like situation. There's a knock-on effect with these jobs as well. Every job that we lose in a rural area such as ourselves, it has a wider implication. It's not just that salary coming into that family. If you take the banks, and I'll talk specifically more about Dunpatrick because I'm more aware of Dunpatrick, and Councillor Rialm, when he comes on the second, he'll maybe mention one point a wee bit more. But when we look at the people that come in to the bank staff, that staff go out regularly, spend their lunch in the shops and buy things. They do a bit of shopping in and around the town. There's a net knock-on effect. And if them shops don't get as much trade, do they close as well? I'm not just saying about this bank. I'm saying this cumulative effect of closures. It has a knock-on effect right down through the community. And in Downpatrick's example, I mean, I think most people will agree, Downpatrick is rapidly becoming a shutter town. There is so many closed premises now, and this will have a devastating effect in Downpatrick. Specifically, when we meet the bank, I would like to ask them about the retention of the ATM facilities. More and more now, the ATMs in towns are running out of money on a regular basis. It doesn't seem to be as much. The ATMs can't keep up with the demand. If you take any time where there's a bank holiday, it wouldn't be unusual to go to an ATM and be told to set a service because they've run out of money. So if the bank is to close, we would like them to retain the ATM service that's in the town and not remove the ATM as well as the frontline banking. So what I'm asking for the council is that we register our disapproval with this decision. We ask to send a delegation, a cross-party delegation, to meet with First Trust. We ask First Trust, obviously, for this meeting first. We sit down and we highlight how we feel as a rural community that we are extra disadvantaged, that, yes, there would be an impact anywhere where there's a frontline service, but in an area such as ourselves where we don't have good broadband infrastructure and all the other problems that we have, it's not just that easy to travel from all sides of our district, that we can highlight to them what a disadvantage is and see what they intend to do to try and help our citizens along this path. So, Becky, might you want to touch on the one point, Seth?
Well, there is... Mikey Carson,
I heard you have a turn. You'll
all need to turn out your light.
Just take it
to
do it second.
So, just the second motion, and I think we've talked about quite well, all the issues, but especially for one bank, the second bank that was closed in time, and the closing three down to one. I think the management of the ATM is something that's here in terms of the Chinese core bank that relies on the tourism. We have that ATM
Michael Carr.
Thank you, Chair, and I would support the motion wholeheartedly. I would maybe start off by saying that I would specify the name of the individual who we want to meet, Mr. Des Moore, who's head of the First Trust Bank and has been putting out the statements. I accept and understand the increase in bank customers now using online and mobile services. I have to say that the statements that are being put out by the First Bank in their branch closure impact assessments, for example, in Downpatrick, they say there's a 13% decline in transaction volumes over the last 3 years, and in Warren Point, it's 20%. Now, overall, they're saying there's a 40% reduction in the past 2 years, so they're very contradictory figures, in my opinion. And even if there's 18%, I think, in Warren Point, that means over 80% of the transactions are still being transacted. People still need to use the bank. The First Trust Bank, shortly after they announced the closures, also announced that they've just made a pre-tax profit of $54 million. How insulting is this to their loyal customers? They're also part of the AIB, which this year had pre-tax profits of $1.46 billion. And, least we forget, who bailed AIB out just a number of years ago. Again, it was the people of Ireland. And it's the same people, maybe just a bit further north, but it's the same people that they're insulting with this. And you just accept that we're moving on to doing transactions online. People still need to use the banks. I agree wholeheartedly with the previous speakers about the need for an ATM in the town. And the one at the First Trust in Warren Point at this moment in time is probably one of the busiest in the country, I hazard a guess. Maybe part of the reason why it keeps running out of money. But it is well used, a much needed service. As has already been said, that the functions of the bank can transfer to the local post office. The post office in Warren Point has just been closed down and moved into a supermarket. And I hazard a guess that the planning permission and all issued with the post office does not cater for the requirements needed for a bank. It doesn't substitute a bank. There are all sorts of security issues involved in it as well, and people going in there with large amounts of money to make deposits and so on. It's just not feasible. I think this bank should be retained. I think that certainly the ATM needs to be retained. And another thing that concerns me when I look at the branch closure impact assessment is they tell you where the nearby ATMs are, and like Councillor Rowan mentioned, they name all the local shops that do close at 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. But one location is the Ulster Bank, which isn't noted in the impact assessment for Warren Point. But other bank locations are noted in all the other assessments. And I'm just wondering, do First Trust know something about the Ulster Bank that the rest of us don't know? And that even the last bank ATM in Warren Point is under some sort of jeopardy. I also feel, Chair, that if we get the meeting with this Mr. Des Moore, that we should put it to him, have they taken all the options into consideration? You know, the First Trust in Warren Point is a big building, it's three stories high. Have they considered downsizing? Have they considered renting out the top two buildings and so on? I think it is a drastic option to completely pull out of town, and especially to take the ATM with them. And we must fight this as a council. It just affects the whole economics of the district and severely dents our opportunities of drawing businesses and jobs into these two locations. Thank you, Chair. Sorry for going on.
Glenn?
Chair, we in the Democratic Unionist Party will be supporting Councillor Burns' motion. To be quite honest with you, everything that Councillor Burns and all his previous speakers is true. The one big thing that any local bank has, it has a relationship with its customers. No matter what you do, if they do start into this down this road of going to a post office and that, the counter staff in a post office do not have the expertise, so they don't know to deal with people coming in talking about financial matters to do with that institution. The other thing is, when you go to business, now, fair enough, I do bank with the First Trust, and...
Councillor Carr's
question. But yes. I do bank with the First Trust, and I've been doing in business now 30 years. You do need your local staff, so you do. You do need them to support you. You do need their guidance whenever you're building your business that you do. You need all that support that comes from the relationships in a bank, so you do with the staff in it. We do need to keep... I know you talk about ATMs. An ATM does not replace the staff in the bank. Anybody that started a business or is trying to build a business, you do need the professionalism of the staff in there. And the First Trust, I do honestly think we do need a meeting now because it's going to damage the whole regeneration of this whole area. So I'll be quite honest with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Again, yeah, from the point of view of someone who's from a town where a First Trust branch has already closed, I suppose we should have seen the writing on the wall when a whole business from the Ballinahinch branch was transferred to Lisburn as opposed to Downpatrick. And the point Councillor Burns makes about the ATM, you know, that I suppose is the biggest impact that we see in the town. Last week, Danske Bank's ATM went faulty, and the amount of people running about the town looking to try and find where they could get money. It was surprising it left only one other ATM functioning in the town. So I think it is really important that we'd very at least keep the ATM facilities within branch and possibly explore. If we look at how Danske Bank in Downpatrick has changed the way they operate, where they have moved to smaller premises, it's a more automated service. But if for those who do need the assistance and being served, they can go round the back and get that assistance. So maybe it's something the First Trust might look at for one point in Downpatrick. Thank you.
David?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. On behalf of the Independence and Alliance Group, we would also like to support the motion. I think it's a very worthy motion brought forward by Councillor Burns tonight. And I think the impact on towns like Warren Point and Downpatrick, it can't be underestimated, the impact of a closure of a bank. Because the banks, like post offices, are meeting places for people. And they're places where people feel that the town have a future. By taking away institutions like this, you're actually weakening that morale. And I'd love to know, you know, just how much consultation has gone into this. How many of the staff have been informed and told what the reasons were? Because it does have a massive impact on the staff and their families, and it leaves them at a low ebb. And I've seen that happen on a number of occasions in different financial institutions. I have to say, personally, I was 35 years with the First Trust in Newry, and I left them because they simply had become uncompetitive. They weren't competitive enough compared to other banks. And yet, as Michael Farage points out, the First Trust, in the announcement of 16 banks going, then announces a £54 million profit for the previous financial year. You know, talk about rubbing it in on the people who worked, who used those bank institutions and were very loyal to them over the years. So I certainly agree with the concept of trying to have a meeting with Mr. Moore as quickly as possible so that we can try to find out the real reasons behind these closures.
Okay, Andy. Thank you very much. So, just wanted to draw on a few more of the points from the line as well. I think really, you know, sort of the analogy of using internet banking more and more. I mean, internet banking is not a substitute for on the street banking. I mean, I'm going to speak from customer experience. And again, as some of the businessmen in the council alluded to, people need to go and see the bank face to face, go through these more complicated financial transactions, if you will. And that's very, very important. At this time, you're applicants and people don't want to replicate that online banking. To report as well, I think it's important as well, what sort of trajectory this council wants to take, really, and a lot of the approach of these things, because. Yeah, we're talking about these last banks in the town. Case studies have shown, based from America, based from England or whatever, that once these banks leave the high street, the knock-on effect, all the medium businesses do not take up loans that allow them to function as a business, allow them to spread the money throughout the town, and income generation as well. So, I mean, I think that would be important. And
okay, sorry, Jacqueline. I actually was looking at Daisy and I saw his white fashion, so sorry, it should have been you.
That's okay. Yeah, I support the motion. Well, I just wonder maybe could the proposer also maybe accept an amendment as well that maybe the councillors would be more appropriate, the councillors from the particular DEAs were invited to that meeting solely. Just to keep it tighter. Can I just say that a few pointers is that Warren Point, for example, there's quite a number of high population of retired people there who aren't internet friendly. Obviously, still would walk around to the bank as such, so that's a very important part. Again, our point, the high spend in the town in terms of cash is because, it's a festival town, ostensibly, and hopefully we approve that. So this isn't really doing anything for business when you see these facilities closing with no consultation and no indication of what sort of facility you're going to leave. They're going to leave behind, if any. I'm just giving one example. I think I understand, in the same group, the AID group in the south, they provide a lobby there, and it's open, I think, to 9 or 10 o'clock at night. There are people who are able to deposit cash and have full use facilities in a safe environment. So all these type of things should have been looked into by the bank if they really were concerned at all about the customers and the people. And I'll go as far as saying, maybe people should really be encouraged when banks do this, actually just to change bank, because no loyalty to the community, then no loyalty to the bank maybe would be the modus operandi for people. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, David. Terry?
Thanks very much, Chair. And we too had a similar scenario in Cross Gar and St. Fe's several years ago. In relation to the Northern Bank and Cross Gar, it was one of the most profitable in the Northern Bank network. But yet the two major players in the market announced closures, irrespective, and the domain made up that there weren't addressed in consultation whatsoever. Points have been already touched upon. The effects on the staff, the football to local businesses, and it has a knock-on effect with the local business community and with the people and residents themselves. While enhancing the future of our post offices, and I must welcome the post office being involved to a certain extent, because they too were under a lot of pressure and threat of closure, and it's good to see that post offices are going to be part of the network, but it's not the desired outcome that would be. I would say the bank's been open to tell you the truth. I think it's draconian proposals. And, several years ago, as my colleague, Councillor Carr, touched on, the taxpayers, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Ratepayer, bailed out the banks. And the banks are short memories, and now they're putting profits before people. And I do support the gist of this motion, and that it is important that our voice is heard where it matters, and I do support the call of the motion and for a cross-party delegation to meet with Mr. Des Mirrors. So I support the motion and welcome it.
Thank you. Okay. Charlie?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I too support the motion and welcome and thank Councillor Burns for bringing this. I suppose I'll not go over again. Councillor Rowan and Councillor Kerr have
pretty much summed up my sentiments towards what's happening there in Moran Point. But it is fair to say, Chair, that I suppose any bank in any town, especially with a few in number, it's the commercial centre of that town, Chair, more often than not, that draws people in to conduct their commerce throughout the town, specifically shopping. Some on a weekly and some on a daily basis. And the Warren Point branch in particular, Chair, because I wouldn't be very au fait with the situation in Downpatrick, has a much wider customer base than Warren Point. You're talking about the northern end of Bourne on one side, right to Killowen, to the Causey Water Bridge on the other side. So it's quite a big area, Chair. However, I'm not surprised by what's being proposed here by the banks, because if the last decade, Chair, has shown us anything, it's that these corporate fat cats have no regard for their customers, the end users on the bottom rung. Quite a few of these people, Chair, as I'm sure we all could testify to this, anybody that has relatives of a certain age, there's quite a few of them have difficulties using a bank card, never mind internet banking. So, yet again, Chair, I fully support the motion and thank Councillor Burns for taking it. Thank you.
Okay, Jill?
Yep, just on behalf of the Seniors Party, we'll certainly be supporting this motion tonight. The bank closures, both in Dunpatrick and Warren Point, will certainly have a profound effect on the towns and surrounding areas, rurally, and the business community, so not to mention the staff currently employed. So I would like to thank Councillor Burns for bringing this forward tonight, and we'll be supporting it. Thanks.
John Chairman.
Just really to support Councillor Burns' motion here, commend him on it. Brilliant motion that's come forward, and as everyone's in agreement, you know, it affects everyone here in this chamber, and it affects every constituent in this chamber. I suppose, for me, the big issues around accessibility, especially when you talk about mobile banking, internet banking, telephone banking, not everyone is IT literate, and I tend to think that these big banks tend to forget that. Not everyone can use a computer so well, and not everyone has faith in their confidential information being bandied about in telephone. And I think you have to stand back and just wonder as to the thinking behind this, how you could marginalise a portion of our population and discriminate against them. Because that is what this is, as it was stated in the motion, it's discriminating against a rural population, and a population which may not understand internet banking, mobile banking, or may not trust it either. And for all the reasons laid out before as well, from the rest of my colleagues, is why I'd be supporting this. And as a Downpatrick man, obviously, you know, for the people in the town that I know who are members of this bank, they are extremely upset about this. And given that they have been bailed out, given that they have made a profit, they do feel let down. And I would hope that, as has been said, the big wigs can have a wee look, see the stamp that's coming out from the population, and maybe have a wee think about what could be done otherwise. Is there any way else of going forward with this? We do take a look at the Danske Bank and the refurbishment there, and how they have reduced size, how they've moved into a smaller branch. However, they still have the full range of services, and it's an excellent service. I'm a Danske Bank user myself, and there's no deficit in service. And maybe they maybe have to take a leaf out of that sort of book and look at that option.
Thank you. Davey, do you want to sum up?
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks to everybody who spoke up in favour. I think some interesting points were raised. I'm upbeat about the council's response, but nevertheless still very concerned that you know, we might be fighting a losing battle. I think if we go to them with quite a pragmatic approach and we talk about the downsizing and the streaming and other examples, and I think we should promote that we're still a good place to do business. In regards to just what Michael said about Des Moore, happy to change the wording that we write directly to Des, that's no problem, as long as we write it in such a way that doesn't give them off the hook if Des won't go with it, then nobody else will, you know, have to be a representative if he's not available. And just to Declan, who suggested an amendment there, Declan, I did consider the DEAs, But I suppose that, for 2 points, one, it would be a lot of councillors going on one delegation because there's two branches and then we'll cover two DEAs. And also, I know from personal experience, a lot of people in the Sligo Crib DEA are affected directly by the Downpatrick one, and I'm sure it's the same where Rowallan and other DEAs, and again, likewise, on the other side, the Crockleave, I'm sure you get a bit of mourns. You could end up with an absolute cascade of councillors. So I think a cross-party delegation, and I would suggest possibly if you fired that part maybe to the group leaders, and we see if we can get some sort of a mixture that represents, you know, both areas, if you will, both representing the Warren Point area and the Downpatrick area throughout the parties. But it's a clear single message the council sent, and so, you know, it should be strong that all the parties are on board anyway. So if we just had a cross-party delegation, I think we'll get that message across. But thanks for the support, and we'll see what we can do.
Everyone in agreement? Yeah. Get them underway. Now, just going to have to ask our friend. Yep.
Chairman, we wish to go into committee because the item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 1, part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to an individual and information which relating to the business and financial affairs of the council, and by such may be by resolution be excluded, the public may exclude for this item of business. So proposed and seconded for that purpose, Chairman.
John Shainer and Davy Hyland.
While in committee, item 11, renewal of council Microsoft licences. In relation to item 11, renewal of council Microsoft licences, was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Burns, seconded by Councillor Clark, to procure Microsoft License Solutions Partner, LPS, and to purchase Microsoft end-user licences to the resulting enterprise agreement at the cost outlined in the officer's report for 3 years and funded within from the revenue budget. Also in committee, it was Councillor Mrs. Carville provided clarification in relation to the additional works to the entrance of Newry Leisure Centre, and information was noted. And item 7, Minister's Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting, 15th of February 2017, minute SPR 52 2017. In relation to minute SPR 52 2017, Councillor agreed in the proposal of Councillor Rowan, seconded by Councillor Clark, to note the contents of the officer report and approve the recommendations of paragraph 3.1 and 3.2 regarding the application of the RPA severance scheme. All agreed unanimously.